A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's March 8th, 1959, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Ariel, Rebecca, and Ollie. The Retrospectors.
In the late 50s, when CBS was promoting a new TV short called The Incredible Jewel Robbery, it listed Chico Marx and Harpo Marx as being in the cast, but the final star was billed simply as having a familiar face equipped with a mustache and leer, because for complex contractual reasons, they couldn't say that yes, Groucho Marx would be joining his brothers today in history in 1959 for what became their very last on-screen appearance together.
Yeah, the three had last appeared together on screen 13 years earlier in the Marx Brothers film A Night in Casablanca, which was a very loose Casablanca parody. There was another Marx Brothers film after this, Love Happy, in 1949, but weirdly, they didn't share any scenes, the three of them together. Which is
so mad, isn't it? Mm. What would the director, what was he thinking? You'll never guess who I've got. I've got Chico Marx, yeah, who else have you got? I've got Harpo Marx playing this one. Who else have you got? I've got Groucho Marx. Oh, you got the Marx Brothers. No.
And so they do share the scene for the very last time together in this particular episode of CBS's General Electric Theatre, which was a weekly anthology series hosted by Ronald Reagan, of all people, and sponsored by General Electric's Department of Public Relations. You know, it's not necessarily the most glamorous end to their career, but you only see Groucho at the very end. He delivers the only line of dialogue. It's a 30-minute, almost completely silent comedy when Harpo and Chico play bumbling jewel thieves. At the end, they're in a police lineup disguised as Groucho. The real Groucho walks on. He says, "We won't talk until we see our lawyer." Ba-dum-tsh, roll credits. And of course, Groucho wasn't in the credits for the contractual reasons we alluded to.
Yeah, I mean, the contractual reasons aren't that complicated. It's that he was on contract to NBC, and this was on CBS. And he was on contract to NBC because he presented a massively popular TV quiz show called You Bet Your Life. Mm. It's funny because for a couple of decades, Americans almost forgot that Groucho Marx was a movie star before he was a TV host. He was known hugely, massively as a TV host in the same way that, you know, I suppose there are probably some old people out there now who only know Jeremy Clarkson for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I mean, like that. Because he was on this massive show. Everyone's like, oh, he's the guy from You Bet Your Life. But now it's kind of come full circle again, and people remember the Marx Brothers more for their films than, obviously, for their post-films TV career. But Groucho had always understood the power of TV. He told The Hollywood Reporter in 1949... "Run for your career, boys. A new monster has arrived. Within 6 months, nightclubs and sports arenas will be dismantled and converted into parking lots. We may not even need the parking lots because no American with a television set is ever going to go outdoors again."
Well, and they were so encouraged by the audience reaction to this short that they did together that almost immediately they began filming a pilot for a new show that was going to be called Deputy Seraph, as in the angel Seraph. It was about two angels whose job was to possess people for brief periods of time, and they'd do things like bringing two lovers together or expose a criminal or whatever. And then Groucho was cast as the deputy Seraph, Chico and Harpo were the angels, and he would just sort of turn up every third episode or so to speak to the big guy upstairs. And that was the concept. But unfortunately, the whole show was interrupted by Chico getting quite ill and ultimately dying a couple of years later. And during the period of his illness, they weren't able to get any insurance. And so even though they started work on the show, they actually never got it off the ground.
Well, the whole format, because it sounds weird, doesn't it? The whole format was created as a framing device where they'd be angels up in heaven, precisely so that he didn't have to do much filming because of his illness. So the idea was he'd just be doing one sketch a show up in heaven, and then it would be set down on earth with other people playing their characters. But even that was too much for him.
It was like a heavenly version of Quantum Leap, essentially.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it was a clever idea. And, you know, so many other big Hollywood stars were going into TV at the time that it seemed like a natural next step.
It's funny to think that they may almost have come come completely full circle by getting to this moment in a live show that was broadcast on TV. But of course, their career had begun in vaudeville, and it was there where they'd developed their distinctive comedic characters, obviously Groucho being the mustachioed acerbic guy and Chico being the, let's face it, ethnic con man was his role, Harpo being the sort of silent clown. And
who literally plays the harp. I mean, I sort of reminded myself of that looking back into their archive today. That just would not play now as a comedy character, would it? Like, he chases teenage girls with his trousers down, blowing a horn, and he plays the harp. That's his thing. Yeah.
And he plays it excellently as well. It's just, and then Chico plays the piano too. I mean, they're obviously multi-talented people, perhaps with the exception of the fourth brother, well, the fourth brother who made it into the movies, who, as Vulture said, he's listing all of their various achievements, they said Zeppo, well, he got them up to the four advertised brothers.
Well, he was the straight man. Let's not undervalue the role of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, there were five Marx brothers in total. So Groucho, Chico and Harpo, Julius, Leonard and Adolf, as they were born, they were the core Marx brothers and probably the only three whose names are vaguely familiar to a modern audience. There were also Gummo and Zeppo, Milton and Herbert. But Zeppo was always a bit of an outsider. The four older brothers were born within 5 years of one another. Then there was a 9-year gap before Zeppo came along. And he was brought into the act at the age of 17 to replace Gummo. Gummo himself had not been keen on performing either. The issue was that they had a real stage mother who was very determined to get them onto the then, you know, booming vaudeville stage. Her family were fairground performers and her brother Al was a successful vaudevillian. So she had that insider knowledge of show business. She spotted the potential in her rambunctious and fairly theatrical offspring, got them up on stage initially as a musical act, which started to incorporate some jokes and skits. But Gummo never really wanted to perform in the first place. He was drafted into the army in World War One and never went back. And that's when Zeppo was brought in. He was 17. He'd been working as a motor mechanic, a job that he actually liked. But Minnie insisted that he leave that job and come into the act. He ended up staying until 1933, which was because they had been brought under contract to Paramount at this point. And as soon as the contracts had expired in 1933, after the release of Duck Soup, he left. You know, as you mentioned, Zeppo didn't really have a persona. He could sing and he could imitate any of his brothers well enough that he would be able to fill in for them when they were doing shows in vaudeville, but he had no interest in creating anything for himself, so he left. And Zeppo and Gummo actually ran a talent agency together for a while. They were really not interested in being on the other side of the camera.
That combination of show and biz is absolutely in their DNA, isn't it? Right from the beginning, I think they understood the power of their brand, of being brothers. And that's why, I mean, you mentioned they had an association with Paramount, but they also worked for MGM, they also worked for RKO. They were able to translate, in a time where they were supposed to be sort of signed studio talent, their shtick really promiscuously across different stages, just through sheer force of being a family unit. Like, if you wanted the Marx Brothers, you had to buy the Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
And I suspect that's why, even though they were a huge hit on Broadway before they were in films, their plays are so little revived. I mean, Animal Crackers ran for like months and months and months. But you never see a West End revival of Animal Crackers, do you? And I think that's because they were written for these particular performers and they had so much space in there for them to ad-lib and do their thing that you just sort of can't do it unless you have actors literally playing Groucho, Harpo, Chico and Zeppo. They're not really playing the characters.
Yeah. I mean, the other reason for their studio hopping was that they were about as respectful for authority in real life as they were in their films. And towards the end of their time with Paramount, where they'd made, you know, some really good films, including Monkey Business and Horse Feathers and Duck Soup, they were in this sort of position where they were meant to be renegotiating their contract. But actually, Duck Soup had been quite controversial. That had coincided with the start of the Depression and the tone, which was, you know, a sort of war picture send-up, just ruffled a lot of people's feathers. And consequently, they got on the wrong side of Paramount and weren't going to give in to do what the studio wanted them to. Fortunately, they came across Iving Thalberg. He was this real wunderkind and commanded MGM as production manager in his 30s. He was basically playing cards with Chico and he said to him, you've just been handled wrong. It's not that you guys don't have the talent, it's that you don't have the right management. And so he then brought them over to MGM.
I think Chico was the driving force behind a lot of the later stuff because he had a serious gambling problem and he was always trying to pay off his debts. He was always saying, let's get the band back together. You know, what Thalberg had tried to do, you know, was take the act that was this very quintessentially vaudeville era act that had then been translated onto the screen. You know, when they signed to Paramount in the late 1920s, it was a time when, because of the advent of talkies, studios were trying to sign on these big vaudeville Broadway acts and get them into the new brand of comedy that wasn't just silent slapstick. And but those early films had very much been just filmed versions, basically, of their stage act, which was basically, you know, a comedy musical variety show. And so what Thalberg had done with stuff like A Day at the Races and A Night at the Opera was bring them into more plotty films, trying to bring them into a more sophisticated comedy era.
If, by the way, you're a rock fan and you're thinking, hold on, Night at the Opera and Day at the Races, aren't those the names of Queen albums? Well, yes. Upon hearing about them, Groucho sent the band a message congratulating them on their excellent choice of titles, and Queen visited Groucho in LA in 1977 and gave him a gold record. It's in the Smithsonian.
Oh, it feels like that's the event we should be talking about.
Yeah, exactly. To be a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
And so another week of retrospecting ends. But next week begins a day early at Club Retrospectors. Join us now to get an exclusive episode every Sunday. Patreon.com/retrospectors.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.